1.
First Fruits of Zion presents Torah Rediscovered, Challenging Centuries of Misinterpretation and Neglect by Ariel and Devorah Berkowitz. Read by Daniel Kays Thompson. Foreword by David H. Stern. I count it a privilege to have Ariel and Devorah Berkowitz as friends and neighbors here in Jerusalem. I consider it an honor to be asked to write the foreword for their book on Torah. I am pleased to see my name and books among the references quoted in the text. But most of all, I think I can regard this book itself as in some degree a fruit of my own ministry in the Messianic Jewish movement. In my book, Messianic Jewish Manifesto, which Ariel read soon after it appeared in 1988, I urged Messianic Jews to lead the body of Messiah in reacquainting Christian theologians in particular, and the church at large, with the centrality of Torah in the Gospel. The Berkowitzes now join the small but growing number of Messianic Jewish writers who are doing just that. In this regard, they go beyond the Christian scholars who are starting to appraise Paul's attitude toward the Torah more favorably than past generations of theologians. For these scholars, perhaps in the name of objectivity, usually approach the question much more abstractly, much more gingerly. Their work is appreciated, but at the same time, we need people who will get down to brass tacks and talk about how to live by the Torah. Ariel and Devorah don't have all the answers. Neither did I in my chapter on Torah in Manifesto, the longest chapter in the book. But they are addressing the right question and carrying the discussion a bit further than before. They are giving all of us food for thought. For the production of guidelines for behavior, known in Judaism as halakha, the way to walk, necessarily must be a communal product, not decreed by scholars in ivory towers, but growing out of the life of a holy community trying, by the power of the Spirit of God, to live out what it means to be a new creation in Yeshua the Messiah. Ariel's experience as a pastor in America and as a teacher here in Israel, and Devorah's experience as a pastor's wife, along with their years of study, expressed in their own walk of faith, give them background and experience for writing this book. I am glad that they have decided to share that background and experience. May the reader come away with an enhanced understanding and appreciation for the role of the Torah in the Gospel, and an increased desire to embrace it in the light of the New Testament truth. David H. Stern, Ph.D., translator, Jewish New Testament, author, Jewish New Testament Commentary, Jerusalem, Israel. Prologue. Hilkiah's Discovery. It had been an unusually long day for Hilkiah the high priest. Under the direction of his godly king Josiah, he was busy supervising the repair work Josiah had ordered for the temple in Jerusalem. Even though there were masons and carpenters everywhere, there were things which only he, the high priest, was able to do, places where only he was authorized to go. The temple had not been repaired in years, and Hilkiah was working very hard. We are not sure where it was, nor what time of day, but during one of his tedious work shifts, Hilkiah found something that would revolutionize the nation. As he was removing some of the centuries-old debris and many of the temple implements which had fallen into disuse, he came across an old scroll. Blowing off the dust, he could see that this was a rather important law document. But he needed the assistance of the scribe Shaphan in order to determine precisely what it said. We can imagine the mixture of excitement and fear that must have gripped Shaphan as he began to read the ancient Hebrew letters. Making his way through the workmen, he headed straight to the palace. He had to speak directly to the king. After reciting a quick progress report on the temple repairs, Shaphan could contain himself no longer. as if no one else were present, he announced to King Josiah, "Hilkiah the high priest has given me a book." He then proceeded to read the scroll in its entirety. Hilkiah knew this book was something special. So did Shaphan. No one, however, was as deeply moved as King Josiah. It did not take him long to realize that this scroll was none other than a copy of the Torah which Moshe had received from the Holy One. Upon hearing its words, Josiah did the only thing that was appropriate when the word of God was read after so long a period of time. And it came about, when the king heard the words of the book of the Torah, that he tore his clothes. Then he commanded Hilkiah, Shaphan, and the other spiritual leaders to inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. After King Josiah heard this rediscovered Torah, God so moved in his life that he immediately embarked upon a massive spiritual reform movement such as Judah had never seen. Idols and places of false worship were removed from both the temple itself and all around Jerusalem and Judah. Moreover, we are told that Israel celebrated Passover in a manner not seen since the days of the judges. In the end, the Lord said of Josiah, "And before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the Torah of Moshe, nor did any like him arise after him." All quotations from 2 Kings 22 and 23. Hidden, but not lost. Even though Hilkiah's rediscovery of the Torah took place around the year 632 BCE, we can find in this historical account several significant parallels to life among the people of God today. First, note that the Torah was not lost, but merely hidden among the ruins of the temple of God. The same is true for us. The body of Messiah, according to the Brit Chadashah, New Covenant, is the temple of the living God. Yet, for centuries, the Torah has, for the most part, remained hidden and misunderstood, its true nature and value unknown. Here and there, believers have seen glimpses of it, but by and large the Torah has lain ignored, collecting dust amid all the religious trappings held in high esteem by the people of God. Beloved, the Spirit of God is causing more and more of God's people to rediscover His ancient words. No longer is the Torah just a children's storybook featuring our favorite Bible characters. Believers are rediscovering it as a book of the covenant given to God's redeemed people, as a document describing the lifestyle for the holy community, and as the sacred marriage agreement between God and His people. Indeed, today, more than 2,500 years since Hilkiah's monumental find, believers in all parts of the world are making the same rediscovery for their own personal and corporate lives. Found in Judah. There is a second parallel. The Torah was first recovered among the people of Judah, and rightly so, as it was first and foremost a Jewish document, a covenant between God and the children of Israel. This is also the case today. In the past 30 years, more Jewish people have come to believe in Messiah Yeshua than perhaps in all the previous centuries except the first. That is quite a significant movement of God. And since the Lord is turning many of the children of Israel to Himself, it only makes sense that He is also opening the eyes of many Jewish believers to the privileges and responsibilities of the Torah. Fortunately, God has not restricted this movement to the physical children of Israel. An increasing number of those who have been grafted into Israel, the non-Jewish believers in Yeshua, are also beginning to understand the wonders of Torah. Significant spiritual changes. One further element of Hilkiah's discovery bears mentioning. The rediscovery of the Torah led those who understood its full import to make immediate and significant changes in their lives. The natural leader in this, having been so deeply affected by the Torah himself, was King Josiah. We have already seen that this rediscovery of Torah culminated in a national Passover observance. It is significant to note that it also led to a greater appreciation of the doctrines of redemption. For many years, the body of Messiah all over the world has been praying for revival. In some places, these prayers are being answered. But especially in the Western world, where the majority of Jewish people live, this long-anticipated revival has yet to transpire. Could it be that when believers begin to make Torah their guide for life, and to participate in the annual celebrations disclosed in it, they will see, as did the believers of ancient Israel, what redemption truly is? Whatever the case, all who are currently learning to apply the Torah to their lives are experiencing deep-seated and profound spiritual growth. This book, Ashadchan. We have chosen the account of Josiah and the rediscovery of the Torah as a prologue to this book because of the direct parallels between Josiah's time and ours. Just as he and his subjects embraced the words of the scroll unearthed so long ago, many individuals and fellowships today are beginning to rediscover the Torah for themselves and are happily reaping the results of their findings. The purpose of this book is to help you rediscover the Torah for yourself. These pages are intended to help you get to know the Torah as it truly is, the written word of God. In other words, we want to function as a Jewish shadchan, a matchmaker, who brings couples together in the hope that a wonderful and lasting marriage will result. May we be your matchmaker, your shadchan? We want to introduce you to a wonderful, loving, giving, gracious, and beneficent friend, the Torah. We want to help you get to know it, to see not only its beauty, but all the other magnificent qualities it possesses. Please ignore any rumors you may have heard. Give Torah a chance. King Solomon spoke about wisdom the way we would speak of Torah. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Proverbs 1, verses 20 and 21, Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. This book is intended to help those who have never had a chance to get to know Torah or to discover what a joy it can be. To be sure, it can be misused, but if related to in the way God designed, we are certain that Torah will give you many happy years together, ushering you into new depths of intimacy with your God. This book was not designed to be an exhaustive theological treatise, although all that is written herein is based on solid biblical theology. Rather, we wrote it for those who are finding a new stirring coming from deep within their hearts to know the true Torah, both the written word and the word made flesh who dwells among us, Yeshua the Messiah. Our prayer is that this meeting will result in a match. Introduction. If there is one area of misguided theological thinking for believers, it is the study of Torah. In fact, most evangelical Bible colleges and seminaries do not even have an area for study called Torah. In contrast, however, the study of Torah is one of the three main areas of study in yeshivot, Jewish religious training institutions, and Jewish seminaries, along with God and the people of Israel. This means, according to Messianic Jewish scholar David Stern, that at least one-third of the material studied by potential rabbis is hardly even considered by evangelical believers. Is it any wonder that When the followers of Yeshua get together with Jewish people who do not yet know their Messiah, there is very little to talk about. Stern crystallizes the need for believers to wake up to the necessity of understanding the Torah when he comments, quote, "I believe that Christianity has gone far astray in its dealings with the subject, and that the most urgent task of theology today is to get right its view of the law, Torah." End of quote. In this book, we will begin to delve into the rediscovering of Torah. First, we will examine the Torah as a document. In chapter 2, we will look into its various purposes. Chapter 3 will examine the Torah as a way of life. In chapters 4 and 5, we will see who may follow the Torah and explore some of their motivations for doing so. Finally, the main body of the book will conclude with a brief discussion of Jewish and Christian misconceptions of the Torah. What are we talking about? The definition of Torah. In traditional Jewish thinking, the word Torah refers in a rather broad sense to all the authoritative teachings of the rabbis. But there are a number of other definitions in use as well. 1. All Jewish law, as recorded in both the Bible and the Talmud, a compendium of oral Torah. 2. The Tanakh, the complete Old Testament. 3. The first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy, also called the Chumash. 4. The covenant God gave to Moshe, Moses, on Mount Sinai, because it contains individual teachings, or Torahs. 5. Any teaching of the first five books of the Bible. Rabbinic Jewish thinking has declared that there are two Torahs, written and oral. When the rabbis speak in these terms, they usually define the written Torah as the Chumash, Pentateuch, or first five books of the Bible. This Torah was written by Moshe as he received it from God himself on Mount Sinai. On the other hand, the oral Torah, the rabbis claim, was also received by Moshe from God on Mount Sinai. However, this Torah was passed down through the centuries by word of mouth rather than the written word. Perhaps the clearest statement of this idea is found in Perkei Avot, Sayings of the Fathers, a section of the Mishnah, the written version of the oral Torah. In Avot 1:1, we read, quote, "Moshe received Torah at Sinai and handed it on to Joshua, from Joshua to the elders, from the elders to the prophets, and the prophets handed it on to the men of the great assembly." End of quote. Eventually, this oral material was itself written down, beginning around the year 200 CE, under the authority of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. It is worth noting that since the rabbis believe this material to have come from God at Mount Sinai, for them it carries almost as much authoritative weight as the written Chumash. For us, it does not. By saying this, however, we do not mean that there is no value in reading and studying the Talmud and other rabbinic writings. A complete discussion of this subject can be found in chapter 6 of this book. For our purposes here, we will use the word Torah in two ways. First, to refer to the first five books of the Bible, all of which, we assert, are from the mouth of God and written with perfect accuracy by the hand of Moshe. And second, in reference to the specific teachings within the five books of Moshe. Let us begin by reintroducing this divine document to you. You may have known it previously as a list of do's and don'ts. Now it is time for you to examine the unique and diversified document God's Torah truly is. Chapter 1. A unique document. Having defined what we mean by Torah, let us now look at what kind of document it is. To some, this may seem like a superfluous question. It is law, they say. True, it does contain some laws, but upon more careful examination, we discover that Torah is far beyond this rather simplistic description. Teaching. First and foremost, The Torah is God's teaching. This is the primary meaning of the Hebrew word Torah. The word does not mean law, it means teaching. Moreover, the root for Torah can be traced to the Hebrew word meaning to shoot an arrow or to hit the mark. Thus, the word Torah means literally teaching, whether it is the wise man instructing his son or God instructing Israel. Hence, we can say that Torah is God's teaching, hitting the mark of man's needs, including his need to know who God is and what his righteousness looks like. Torah is a document in which God has revealed himself to mankind and taught us about himself and his righteousness. In the Torah, one can learn all the theological concepts which are expanded upon throughout the rest of the Bible, such as sin, sacrifice, salvation, sanctification, and Messiah, the one who accomplishes it all. A covenant. Second, Torah is a covenant. By this we mean that Torah is a legally binding agreement between God and his own people. The evidence for this is overwhelming. The Torah refers to itself several times as a covenant, brit. Any number of references could be cited, but two should be sufficient. The first passage is Exodus 34, verse 27. The context is the giving of the first written revelation, which included the Ten Commandments as well as other instruction. Quote, "And the Lord said to Moshe, write down these commandments, for in accordance with these commandments I make a covenant, brit, with you and with Israel." End of quote. The second reference is Deuteronomy 29, verse 1. Moshe is nearing the end of his life over 40 years after the events in Exodus 34. He has recorded much more of God's teaching and instruction. Now, soon to enter the Promised Land, Moshe summarizes all the teaching from God and calls it, again, a covenant. He says, quote, "These are the terms of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moshe to make with the Israelites in the land of Moab, in addition to the covenant which he had made with them at Horeb." End of quote. Since Torah is a covenant, both parties involved are subject to certain legal obligations. God, the one who initiated this covenant, legally binds himself to keep his word which he spoke in the covenant. Israel, the recipient of this agreement, is likewise bound to do the same. In a sense, one could say that, understood in this light, Torah is really the national constitution for the nation of Israel. This becomes especially clear when, in the light of historical research, Torah is examined as a covenant and compared to other national covenants of its time. There has been much documentation in recent years for the fascinating research accomplished by scholars like George Mendenhall, Meredith Klein, and others. They have compared the documents of Torah with other documents in the same historical time frame, the 15th through 13th centuries BCE. Specifically, written treaties between nations and their conquered or vassal nations have been examined and compared with Torah. The similarities in form and structure are striking. These parallels are extremely helpful in further enhancing our understanding of Torah as a covenant document. To illustrate this, let us compare the typical form of an ancient Hittite treaty with the format of the Book of Deuteronomy. It has been found that the standard outline for such vassal treaties approximates the following. Preamble, a basic introductory paragraph of the covenant. Historical prologue, the acts of the great king, what he has done for the vassal nation. Stipulations, the main bulk of the treaty, covenant, the expectations of the vassal nation. Blessings and curses, rewards for compliance and penalties for noncompliance with the covenant. Witnesses, the signatures of certain prominent figures who are party to the enactment of the covenant. Means of succession, optional. Provision in the covenant for determining who will take the place of the great king. Provision for depositing the covenant, optional. discusses where the covenant or copies of the covenant will be stored. Now let us compare this format with Deuteronomy. Preamble. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, gives basic introductory remarks about the book of Deuteronomy. Historical prologue. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6 through chapter 4, verse 49. A recounting of what the great king, God, has done for Israel. Stipulations. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1 through chapter 26, verse 19. The bulk of the book, known to laymen as law, more accurately, the stipulations given by God, the great king, to Israel for the maintenance of this covenant. Blessings and curses. Deuteronomy chapters 27 through 30. The consequences for Israel of keeping or breaking the covenant. Witnesses. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. God calls upon heaven and earth to witness this covenant. Succession. Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 8. God provides for Joshua to follow Moshe when he dies. Deposit, reading. Deuteronomy 31, verses 9 through 13. Provision made to store the covenant in the ark and to read it publicly at a certain time.